Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm kind of in the throes of, you know, right, the immediacy right after the throes of passion. I could use a cigarette right now. Yeah. I do have a coffee right here.
Good.
Because it was that good of a weekend of football.
It really was. It was just fun up until, I mean, last night's game wasn't the greatest, the Patriots game, but I'm just going to let that one live.
Yeah, I was totally fine with being a total stinker because the rest of the football was so good.
That's it. They gave us so much good football I didn't even care about last night. Starting really all day Saturday and working our way through, and then we even had like a weird 1 o'clock Cavs tip off, so you just got to sit in front of your TV all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and it's been a delight.
There was a part of me, because I used to have this, and it was a pretty strong theory. It happened if the first round of the playoffs stunk, you knew the divisional rounds was going to be just going to be all bangers. I'm so not used to the wild card round good.
Did we use up all of ours now?
It's like, no.
It's like that baseball thought process that's like, we scored 9 today. Save some for tomorrow. Like it's all independent of each other. It's okay.
I actually think this is the year where I think we don't really have a complete team left in the playoffs. We've got really good teams. But like, you know, if you watch the Rams this weekend, that's an incredibly talented team that can't get out of their own way.
Well, especially Bears. When they're playing the Panthers, apparently.
And then the Bears are the antithesis of that. They kind of just muddle around for a while, and then in the fourth quarter, bring it all together. So you've got the team that can't keep a lead with a team that can't stop coming back from being down at the end of games.
Well, yeah, and our one seeds are, it's Denver, who's got a major flaw with the idea that Bo Nix is their quarterback. Okay, he's fine.
Is this the year good that you finally come around to him? Because we're going to have to.
Come around to him. I don't have to do anything.
If they win the Super Bowl, I think we have
to. It's a great defense. I just watched too much of Bo Nix in college to be like, I'm convinced he's the reason.
I'm still flabbergasted by
number
the fact
one defense,
he's this good
number
too.
One offensive line in the sport. It's incredible what they've been able to do post Russell Wilson, but it's Denver and then it's Seattle, and Seattle's led by Sam Darnold, who, as we know, hasn't found an interception that he doesn't love. He just tosses them as if he's getting paid bonuses by the interception. So like, yes, you're right, there's flaws everywhere, but it's made it a lot of fun.
Like, I almost wonder, because again, like, wild card weekend is usually, there's the disparity between the second best team in any conference and the seventh best. We didn't really get any of that. I mean, the weak part of this was supposed to be the Panthers. And
that was the biggest. That was the biggest spread on the Vegas board this weekend, about 10.5 points, and that game was thrilling.
And listen, like, we can say, well, the Rams failed to keep that lead, and that's fair. Bryce Young really played some great football this weekend. Like two guys who maybe changed my thinking on them a little bit this weekend were both in losses.
I became a cokehead this weekend, Nick.
What's that now?
I said I became a cokehead this weekend.
Michael Irvin in town?
Big Jalen Coker fans.
Absolutely.
Oh,
the Cokeheads. Cokeheads unite.
Cokeheads unite.
I didn't realize if you were that part of
Solon. I thought
Solon.
We all became Cokeheads this weekend. Yeah. I thought, is that not all right?
No. I was a little thrown off there.
Was I waiting since Saturday at about 6:30 to drop this at some point throughout the week?
Did you write Cokehead on your script just to make sure?
The only notes I had for today's show is make sure we just tell Nick I became a Cokehead this weekend.
It's radio. That's more of a 1980s thing for radio, but it could, at any
people,
point, it could make a comeback.
People dropping these secession gifts that just say, we're all Cokeheads now, anytime Coker scored a touchdown. Like, it was fantastic. He played a great game, 135 yards. It was incredible.
But the two guys who challenged my previous thinking on them the most this weekend were both guys that lost, but Bryce Young, who I thought was just made some just, other than the last four throws of the game.
The most important throws?
He made some big throws. And I got to be honest with you, Trevor Lawrence impressed the hell out of me. I still don't think that guy is ever going to be a top five quarterback.
Oh, no. They had too much Trevor Lawrence was the problem there. They had the run game at their disposal. You're taking on the 31st run defense in the entire NFL in Buffalo. You're getting whatever. Travis Etienne looked like he was Jim Brown in his prime. And I don't blame Cohen, because this is what you do in these spots. You're supposed to go to your quarterback that makes $55 million a year. Peppered in a little bit too much Trevor Lawrence there.
But he was really good. I think that's the problem.
He would have won the game if he had just stayed with the run game. It's all he had to do. He just had to just stay with the run game and don't rely so much on Trevor Lawrence, and you walk away with an easy win. But he was too important to him to have Trevor win that game, and that's what cost him.
So, great weekend in football aside, a lot of stuff came out about the Browns head coaching search this weekend. Stuff we're going to get to, as you guys can imagine, all show long. But it is Mike McDaniel Day. He is interviewing with the Cleveland Browns today. And it's been interesting to watch the incredible range of responses to this from, that guy. Two, he's a knockoff Stefanski. Two, and we'll play it at some point today's show, that guy's too good for the Browns. Like the vast array of takes on Mike McDaniels and the and the Browns is wild.
Oh, by the way, another note I had from my notepad that I don't actually write notes in, but I think to myself, tell Nick about this. Did you see who was also wearing capris this weekend?
Was it Liam Cohen?
No.
He seems like a capri guy.
Well, a guy named Sean McVay. And that Rams-Panthers game we discussed. So I do want to know, to the morning show, because he wore capris, does that mean if Sean McVay became available, you just wouldn't want him on being the head coach of the Browns? Is that what that is?
And let's be clear, Matt LaFleur, you know if he didn't live in Green Bay, he'd be wearing capris, too.
Oh, so is that part of it? Did, like, LaFleur, once he got to Green Bay, did they take the capris out of his closet? We don't do that around these parts.
No, he doesn't want to get frostbite on his legs and have stumps down there.
Well, but you could, I mean,
you're not wearing capris.
There's more than one atmosphere that you're playing in.
It's Green Bay. Most of the time, you dress for winter. And then air on that side. Air for Arctic winter.
Okay. So McVay was wearing capris, which has been like, as many detracting comments about McDaniel as we can find, that seems to be the one that just comes back circled around for people. It's not anything about his win-loss percentage. It's not about him losing the locker room or anything else like that. It's like, oh, the man's a little goofy and wears capris. Okay, great.
So it's interesting because Kalshi has Mike McDaniel with the best chance right now to be the Browns' next head coach, 24%. Dan Pitcher in second place there at 17%.
Are those the ones that do odds on whether or not Jesus is coming back?
I don't know, but I do know that there's some issues there. They do?
Yeah, they do. They take
unlike
odds.
Any given day?
And, no, you can bet it's by the year. So you bet each year whether or not Jesus is coming back. And so it's like minus 10,000 odds or something like that. Mm. And then you can bet on any given year, they'll take your bet on whether or not the rapture is happening.
Mm. Now, is it, do you have to authenticate Jesus or can it just be... Because I imagine
there's
a guy comes
be some
back,
sort of rules,
it's
right?
going to take a hot minute to figure out is this the real one, right? Because there have been so many people claiming to be that guy. Is what
I know,
I'm saying.
I know. Maybe you need like Pope Leo to be like, this is the guy.
Yeah. So will he come back?
And it's like you get grading cards authenticated by like PSA.
Yeah.
I assume Pope Leo is like the PSA of the whole is this Jesus or not thing.
All right.
I feel like he's the big authenticator.
All right. Final task. Here's some water.
And Jesus is like, no, I've done this trick.
Come on. I
worked for 2,000 years to create new stuff, and you want me to play the hits now? Yeah. Come on.
I mean, you don't come back, and all of a sudden, it's like your new album. Come on now.
And then everyone's yelling like, no, we want water into wine.
Play water into wine. It's like his Freebird. All right.
When I went on a spring break in Panama City when I was in college, we went to this place and this guy was playing music. And I just started screaming Freebird the way that everyone does, right?
Because you were a douche.
Yes. And I was drunk and I was 20 years old. And I'm like, Freebird, all this other nonsense. And the guy, he legitimately stopped his show at one point and was like, if you say Freebird one more time, I'm going to take this microphone, come down there and choke you. And I was like, okay, got it. Got the message.
This is the difference between you and me.
Got the message.
I'd make him come down there and choke me.
Me and my friends had a riot.
Yeah.
We were really, really enjoying ourselves.
I would make sure. I was like, don't you tease if you like, can't please.
Some people pay extra for that.
You're not going to out-freak this freak, okay?
A lot of people pay extra for that.
Now, this being said, it's another point to remind people. This really wouldn't be that bad a hire, guys. Mike McDaniel's a really well thought of offensive mind. If you can keep Jim Schwartz, and I know we have the Albert Breer report piece, whatever we want to say, to get to, if you could keep Jim Schwartz and get Mike McDaniel, I'm sorry, that's about as good as it's going to get for you.
I think so, too. I think the options that I've had and we've had and we've tried to present, I don't know why people are looking at McDaniel's if this is a bad thing. This is about if you're not landing Harbaugh, name me the better alternative.
Do you think that this would people would be more excited about this if Harbaugh just wasn't on the table?
For sure.
Has Harbaugh ruined every coaching search in America with his name?
I say for sure, but maybe that was a little too premature with that because there's a again we
Joking
talk about
again.
Yeah, we talk about McDaniel though, and there's a lot of people that we go to the capris, we go to the vaping on the sidelines, we go to all this other stuff. Hell, Daryl doesn't like him just because he watched Hard Knocks. Like, there's just enough people that have just built up this anti-McDaniel, and I never really understood what it's for. He got Tua to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, lead the NFL in completion percentage, took him to multiple playoff appearances, which is not a thing that Tua is supposed to be able to do, and instead we look at it like he should have accomplished more?
Don't we know that, like, and I'm going to keep coming back to this, McDaniel is what Stefanski's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, McDaniel's been saddled with Tua as his quarterback and never stopped evolving and creating in his offense. McDaniel is one of the most creative, or has one of the most creative run games in the NFL, and one that has worked no matter who the running back or running back by committee is. And he's pretty darn good evaluator and developer of offensive talent. The defense has been what the defense has been in Miami, but he never had the defense the Browns walk into. That's why, to me, it's so important to keep Jim Schwartz. Like, I can't definitively tell you, Mike McDaniel will be your Kyle Shanahan, your Sean McVay, your whatever. But when we're starting to look at, like, what you want in a bounce-back candidate, it is totally fair if he just doesn't check the almighty box, which is, I don't know if he's a leader of men. That's 100% fair. But I can tell you that the difference between him and Kevin Stefanski is, in Miami, Mike's floor was 7-10. I was comfortable with Stefanski when that was his floor, as opposed to a 3-win team or a 5-win team.
I just always believe in guys when that's their specialty, and then you see it play out the way that it's supposed to. Like, if defense is your problem because you're an offensive-minded coach, and listen, it was his problem. Vic Fangio, it looks night and day with Vic Fangio there as opposed to what he's doing right now with Philadelphia, for instance, right? Like, it's night and day, and Vic Fangio's been really good at a lot of other spots, wasn't good in Miami. But, like, I can find ways to fix that. That's what Jim Schwartz is for. We can find ways to do that. His side of the ball is what's best. There's been many years with Stefanski that we weren't able to say his side of the ball is the best part of this team.
Browns have at least a small chance or a significant chance to get John Harbaugh, but none of the major reporters can agree how much.
No, nobody can agree how much. It does feel like they're at least in the conversations, though, which is really all we should be asking for. Chip in a chair, right? Let's just have a conversation. And then from there, it's on Haslam. And really, I was thinking about this, like, should he kick Andrew Berry out of the room? I think there needs to be like a 5 or 10 minute deal where it's just Jimmy Haslam in the room with Harbaugh, where you can tell him, you know, not only can I give you this amount of money, I can also get rid of Andrew if you need to as well.
Hey, Andrew, man, I'm feeling a little peckish. I could use some like peanut butter and chocolate. I'm feeling a little low blood sugary.
Yeah, could you just run out?
So the vending machine down the hall, that's not going to cut it.
And Andrew's like, oh, we got people that can go do that.
No. You know which ones I like. They're on the bottom rung. They're down in the basement.
Ashley's really good at this, though. She's really good at this.
She never picks the right ones. No offense, Ashley, but let's get to this. And then Andrew's like, okay.
And the whole way, it's the dead man walking scene in Green Mile. He's just walking like, oh no, I'm screwed. This is where he bus tosses me and I'm out of a job. But like, I almost wondered if he should like bake in like a 5 minute. I just want to do this with everyone. Like 5 minutes, me and the candidate all setting up for this Harbaugh appearance, where he can then tell him you get anything you want. Name your person, name your place, name your amount of money. Let's do this.
Some Jimmy and John time. That's us. Just two bros, broing out.
And then he does it with, like, you know, everyone. Nate Shieldhouse, the whole gang. And then it just seems normal. Seems
you
like
said
this
that
is
name very
this
correctly.
I did say it very correctly. I'm like a lot of people today and really a lot of people over the weekend as well. Oh, boy.
Pew, 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 pew. That's just dirty pool.
Boy.
That is just dirty pool on
like
so many
like
levels.
Like he's Mickey Mouse or something. It was really funny to me.
Be more like, oh boy.
That's one of those. What it was.
I just think it's interesting. I do think the question is going to be, do the Giants or Falcons, do they let John Harbaugh leave the room? Because if they do, that opens the window for Jimmy Haslam and the Browns. And I think, like, if the Browns call out to John Harbaugh, we want to interview you, come on in. And then he takes a job before he gets a chance to get to the Browns. Mm-hmm. I don't know I can really put that on the Browns.
Well, right? Yeah. I mean, but I...
Because, like, the whole point of the Jimmy magic in all of this is you get in a room with Jimmy Haslam and his pocketbook, and then that does the talking.
Right. That's
but where if he never gets like, to there, I can't really blame the Browns for that.
I know. I also do feel like if this is where does Haslam have to have a conversation with the agent beforehand? To be like, before you ever even get into the Giants room, before you ever even get into that spot, I want you to know what we're going to offer you. I want you to know what that expectation is. I can't afford to let that situation happen.
You can only loosen that bullet once. You can only get him with the shock and awe once.
I know, but it might be worth it.
Unless when he actually comes in, it's actually like $5 million more than you told the agent the first time.
You can only use that bullet once, but if you never get to use that bullet, that's the worst thing that happens.
Or the guy just didn't really want to come here. Like, I can live with that. I can live with John Harbaugh just never gives you a chance to do this, as opposed to you had a chance to it and you were like, well, I hope you like John Harbaugh. I hope you like Jim Schwartz, Tommy Rees, and Andrew Berry. Like, and by the way, the analytics are really still in charge. Like that to me would be the thing where it's like, okay, did you really want John Harbaugh, or did you just want John Harbaugh on your terms?
I did notice some of the reports talking about how John Harbaugh had to do all this research and all the quarterbacks, right? He had to dissect Jackson Dart, dissect Cam Ward. I was like, do you think he broke down a lot of Shador tape? What do you think he did there?
I think we already know, right? Didn't he already do some Shador work there?
That's what I'm saying. He's already done the work on Shador. Does he need any more of the seven games? Is that what he needs?
Should we get his number and send him some stuff? Like, oh, John, hey, it's Nick and John from Cleveland.
We missed the mixtape opportunity.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Just a couple of friendly texts.
I just don't spend time editing things, but I've thought about just doing a splice of all of Shador's best throws and just putting them out there and just not saying anything with it. And just, it's like a 3-minute montage of just the very, very best, a greatest hits of Shador over the previous seven games.
I will tell you, that is why the social media is the perfect place for the Shador conversation, because there are people putting out like one bad read from Shador.
Well, he gets all that.
And it's like
he gets all the negative throws in a montage.
The highlights are all over TikTok. TikTok is very pro Shador.
Where's my 3-minute montage of just the very best throws from those seven games?
I think maybe you're seeking out the negative pass
to Isaiah Bond. All these times he never gets the cut-ups that I want.
It's always like
here's 3 minutes of him playing not great football.
I swear half of my TikTok when I'm rolling through them, one, it's like, this is why Shador's not an NFL quarterback, this one individual play, and the next person is like, this is why Shador is an NFL quarterback.
TikTok is too much of Drake May's wife making cookies.
I think you're telling on yourself with that one.
There's a lot of that. A lot of Drake May's wife making different delicate goods.
For 1 second,
she calls it Bake Miss.
All right. I do know about this. I have heard about this, and I have seen this. I thought we were talking about Drake for a minute. I just stopped hearing.
The rapper Drake?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I'd be consuming a lot. I didn't even know he was married. Took me a minute. I was like, I didn't know you were that into wheelchair. She's like, Jimmy's
Drake
wife.
May, she's like Drake May's. They've been together since like seventh grade.
Yeah. That's wholesome.
A very adorable couple.
Yeah. By the way,
she makes cookies and Patriots fans lose their mind.
We could all grow to be the quarterback of an NFL team if, starting in seventh grade, we had the amorous affection of women. Right? Seriously. That dude's holding hands in seventh grade. You know, by the time junior year comes around, other things are going down. Like,
that's the difference. She knew what she was hitched to.
You think she knew in seventh grade?
Yeah, I would think.
It was like the scouting combine?
I would think Drake May had already displayed a lot of athleticism by the time seventh grade had happened.
Those shoulders, he's going to be at least 6'4". Let's test out the arm.
He had to pass math class somehow.
Greg, throw me some Nutter Butters.
His dad was in the coaching world. Like, she had to assume he was going to land in some sort of nice spot. And so, like, there's a reason why, like, seventh, eighth graders, it never lasts. Is because most of the time, the girl then realizes, oh, there's someone better out. There's something better. It's there. It exists. Let me go do that. There was nothing better than Drake May at that point. It was never gonna materialize.
Who hurt you?
A lot of people. A lot of people along the way.
Sounds like seventh grade Johnny got done dirty here.
A lot of people along the
You're
way.
You're not Drake May's age, are you?
No. Not even close.
The other man.
I think Drake May's actually like Jake Volnick's age.
So what's funny about this is, while we wonder, okay, how much of a chance do you really have with John Harbaugh? The Giants fans have gone from he's going to Miami, this is a nightmare, to now swinging back to and it's all because of Ian O'Connor's tweet yesterday. As the Giants prepare to close on Harbaugh in the coming days, and then he posts a story that he wrote 10 years ago, which is wild, by the way. You get all the Giants fans incredibly hot and bothered by being like, so they're closing on John Harbaugh. By the way, here's the thing I wrote about him 10 years ago. That is wonderful use of social media. It's basically catfishing, because you're like, oh, there must be some hidden thing in this. No, it's just something Ian O'Connor wrote a decade ago for ESPN on John Harbaugh. But you gave them what they wanted, which was the Giants are preparing to close on John Harbaugh. Now because of that,
yeah,
all of our friends at WFAN, so he's coming here, and that's just how it's going to be. It's like,
are these the same people that a week ago you told me were locked in on Stefanski?
On Friday. Yes, same people. And on Friday, they were certain. It was like a funeral dirge. It was like, he's going to He's going to Miami. He's got the relationship with Stephen Ross. I've never seen it. This level of flip-flopping simply cannot happen in the world. It cannot. Not at Big Bad like WFAN.
Fanta levels of flip-flop. Well, they got a new lineup over there. You know?
It makes Fanta stand your ground guy. Like, that's like hold the line guy, John Fanta, compared to the flip-flopping back and forth from day to day.
Because last week you told me you wanted to do a burger bet on it. They said it was going to be wrapped up and done by Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we are. Now it's Monday.
And then Harbaugh got fired.
Here we are.
And then Harbaugh has and hasn't been their coach. I'm inclined to believe, and I've never stopped believing, that the Giants would be his number one spot. I think the one thing about the Giants is it's kind of similar to the Green Bay job. I don't know they're giving you $20 million a year and all the power you want. Because those are different franchises.
Yeah.
Whereas a lesser franchise, like in the eyes of football people, Atlanta, Cleveland, Tennessee, might just give you everything you want just to come in the door.
Seems like we'll give you anything you want. It seems like Arthur Blank will, too. Arthur Blank really does. He went a little cheaper with Raheem Morris this last go-around. But it seems like at this spot, Arthur Blank is ready to just unload as far as the financials are concerned. I still think the Raiders, after Friday night, though, you know, the amount of people that were like, you can have this on your roster, speaking of Mendoza, immediately ready to sign up after that game on Friday night. Like, it was there's a lot that can still happen within this coaching search.
I want to get to the McDaniel-Stefanski line there, but 216-474.
So where's McCarthy been hiding?
0092, probably at a pizzeria.
It's not a bad guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's more of like
I bet he's a wings guy.
Ooh, that's good. I was thinking steak and soft shell because he got the taste of fine life in Dallas, and
it's
now he's not going back. It's
disappointing when you have people like McCarthy that are a little bit bigger, and they eat just horrible food. Not like horrible bad for you, but I mean like horrible. Like he's like, I don't know, like he uses like 2,000 calories a day on Pringles or something insane. You know what I mean? Or something that like isn't the traditional,
so
like,
are there
I eat a lot
ethics
of wings
in the fat community that I don't know about?
I just feel like if you're going to be a bigger guy, at least do it right. You know, like stuff your face with pizza, do wings, do basically all the really fatty foods that people on diets don't eat consistently. Like, do those a lot.
But do people on diets consistently eat Pringles?
I don't know. I couldn't come up with a better one on the top of my head there. But I was thinking of like if they eat like a lot of broccoli or something, or a lot of carrots or something.
I mean, I kind of think
something that like isn't necessarily just wings that we know are just going to be a million calories.
I kind of think the whole point of the fat game is there's just no ethics to it.
Is that it?
It's like the Wild Wild West.
Okay, I like that thinking.
You can just eat whatever you want, whenever you want, however you much. I mean, by the way, I very successfully withheld a 12-pack of Nutter Buddies from my kids for like 2 weeks. Just put it up where nobody would see it, and nobody found it.
The fat game's always confusing to me, but what I do appreciate about you is that you outwardly eat a lot of things in general,
yeah,
and you don't hide it. I feel like I have some bigger friends that I just never see eat,
yeah,
and I'm like, how'd you get to be big? I never see eat.
It's Hacksaw. Hacksaw does a thing of like, oh, I just want one chicken finger. And I was like, come on, that's not a one chicken finger body. What are we doing here?
Yeah, like, what are you doing the show for?
Like, I'm going to take 12 home for my family.
What are you doing the show for? Just eat it. Eat it all. We don't care.
I think the Browns do have a chance with Harbaugh. I just don't know they're going to have a chance to get to Harbaugh. Does that make sense?
It does. And the fact that we're like fourth or fifth on just about everybody's list, not encouraging. But again, we were that way with Deshaun Watson too, and then they were able to get it done.
Now I'm going to land though in a best spot, which is Charles Robinson saying that this job has more potential than people realize. And I don't think that's because Charles thinks that. I think it's because Charles has heard from people around the NFL that this job has more potential than people realize.
I hope so. I hope that's the case. And we'll find out based off of who and when ends up here. If it's not Harbaugh, if it ends up being McDaniel, then I think he's dead on the money.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Nick Sirianni and A.J. Brown had a massive sideline dust-up again during the Eagles' loss to the 49ers on Sunday. Brown declined to speak with the media after the game, so here is head coach Nick Sirianni commenting on the exchange.
I was trying to get him off the field, you know, because we were about to punt, and that was really it. So I love A.J. I think he knows how I feel about him. I have a special relationship with him. We probably went through every emotion you can possibly have together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've yelled at each other. You know, we're both emotional. I was trying to get him off the field, and that happens in this game, but I love him.
All right, between that exchange and the drops, was this the last time we'll see A.J. Brown play for the Eagles?
I'm not sure about that. The mistake Howie Roseman made is he didn't trade him at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Should have traded him at the deadline. And I know the dead cap is insane. That's why it's even hard for an off-season conversation, is the dead cap's just a lot attached to A.J. Brown. But you got to find something different here. A.J. Brown was, like, hugging teammates after the game in the locker room. Like, he was crying as if he's gone. There needs to be some change after this Eagles season. That was the perfect Eagles game, is what we saw in that game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. I hope they don't think they can just fire Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator,
and that's
enough.
They're definitely doing that,
but there's a personality thing in there. Listen, AJ's still only 28 years old. I don't think he's worth the first rounder in a trade anymore. So trying to find the right mix of trade comp versus how you work the salaries, I would 100% be in on him if I were the Browns, by the way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
If you're not having to give up a first and maybe a second round, if this is like a third and fifth kind of deal, I would do it no hesitation.
Definitely. He's so talented. It's a really crappy way. Your boy Jalen Hurts did not escape a lot of the problems that were attached to that game either.
No, he was, the drops hurt him more than I thought he did, but it was not good all around.
Not a good game.
Saquon made some plays.
Omaha! Yeah, he did. All right, Packers are now expected to try to work out a deal in the coming days to keep head coach Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. That game Saturday night. We say this with like every Bears game, it feels like, but it's like game of the season. We've said this three other times with the Bears game at some point throughout the year. They continue to just pull. They call them the cardiac Bears, which I don't like. And I'm sure a lot of people here definitely don't like that they're being called the cardiac Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pulling out these wins. But Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson after the game and the handshake heard around the world, there's some real tension here. They generally don't like each other.
But I think it's all created by Ben Johnson. Like, I don't remember this being a thing prior to Ben Johnson's press conference where he's like, I look forward to beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. They don't come from the same tree, so maybe that's part of this. I think this is just an extension of the Lions-Packers beef that's happened.
It definitely is, yeah.
But, like, it's weird. Like, at no point before Ben Johnson's introductory press conference a year ago have we gotten any word of beef between Johnson and LaFleur. And then Johnson, you know damn well, no matter whether they won or lost on this weekend, that he was going to do that handshake the way it went.
For sure. He had it planned out ahead of time. Like, he loves this stuff. And on top of it, he's talked about how people in the Browns front office or Bears front office and ownership are like almost encouraging him to do these type of things. So is he playing it up for that? Before at some point, he's got to turn around and be like, what'd I do to you, man?
You know what?
How did we get here? What did I do to you?
You know what I think this is for?
I kind of love it, though.
I think it's a fake it till you make it.
That's fine.
I think he's trying to like get rid of the same old Bears stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
like
a good vibe.
I saw my buddy Dan go into that game, and I was like, "How are we feeling about this game?" And he's like, "Yeah, the Bears just aren't going to be able to do this." And I was like, I can't tell whether this is your analysis or whether this is just a damaged Bears fan.
Probably damaged
Bears
fan.
Who's had to deal with just years. It's like Browns fans of like, you don't believe until you get substantial and almost an overcorrection belief that you have to actually believe in your team.
And they played such a bad half. The amount of people on my timeline that I know from Chicago that were just talking about how bad this was, how awful it was, they're going to stop being Bears fans, all these other things, and then turn around and play the second half that they did. It was unreal.
Omaha! Ben Johnson's trying too hard, but it's working because you can tell LaFleur's pissed. The Jaguars lost to the Bills on Sunday, and Jags head coach Liam Cohen received some soothing from an unlikely source, a Jacksonville media member.
I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
You hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
And you did a great job out there today.
Appreciate it.
Just hold your head up, okay?
Thanks,
and ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
I really like somebody like that in like my personal life to just come along on any given day.
Because you know, when a person like that says that, it's genuine.
Yes.
And it's real. And there's no fakeness attached to that. And so there's something sweet about it.
Are
it's
you
endearing.
Among the media masses infuriated at this exchange?
No, I'm not. It would be odd of me if I was the person being like, Shador can have someone interrupted for 20 seconds, but then I care about this. You know, like it's 20 seconds of their time. I get everyone's on deadlines. Great. You all write for digital companies at this point that all can have things updated on the fly. Like, I just don't think the 20 seconds really, I don't think it's worth the 20 seconds that this was disrupted for how many people are so enraged by it all. It's like it just it doesn't bother me.
I think
it's not something I would ever do, but it doesn't bother me.
I think you and I are actually in lockstep on this. I get really annoyed. There's a class of media member that thinks they get to define what media is. And again, it's you know, radio people like to look down at podcasters, and reporters like to look down at this person. Radio people, and everybody kind of has an opinion of how this should be. You know, people that do our job have an opinion on ESPN and First Take and all that, and reporters have it. Like, and honestly, like, I get that traditionally this is not an exchange that we would have between reporter and or media member and the head coach right after a team member lost. We're not living in a common era. This, like, the confines of sports media has been so elastic now that it affords people who are diehard reporters at newspapers to sit next to people who are podcasters, that sit next to people who are radio people, that sit next to TV people. Like, and I think that's a positive, because I do think in the end you get a lot of different perspectives on sports. So I don't really give a rip. And if, like, the worst thing somebody can say about this lady is she was super nice, okay. Like, it's weird to me the amount of people in this business that can't just say, well, that's not for me.
I mean,
I wouldn't do it. It's not for me, but that's okay.
I didn't see a lot of people getting all up in arms when Trudell did it last 2 weeks ago to Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see people really care.
I saw a few tweets about it, and I heard a few other things about it. And my response is pretty much to those people, what my response about this is.
Yeah. Like, could it have been...
It was a nice sentiment.
Could it have been something that they did in passing? Okay, maybe. But maybe they didn't think they were going to be able to have that in passing moment. And so, like, it's just not the end of the world. It's not worth getting upset about. It's not worth getting all up in arms about. And I think people have spent more time discussing it than any part of it actually lived in real time with.
I'm just so happy that it's been able to be dissected like it's the... That really is, in the scheme of things in social media... A story that is like, this is interesting, turning into the biggest crap show ever with a bunch of really terrible takes. That's social media for you.
The problem I have with it is that sometimes the sports reporting world, and I get it, they all think that they're Woodward and Bernstein. Like, I get it. But, like, you're not. It's still sports. At the end of the day, it's sports. And you should take your job very seriously. One thing I think is always a problem is when you're in this world, the sports, the toy bin world, and people, they don't take it with serious nature. They don't take it with any sort of levity or anything like that. Well, you do. You care enough about it, and you take things enough in a serious way. That's when you become a big joke, is when you take none of that serious and none of that with any sort of serious nature. And so, like, with this stuff, like, there's times to be really serious about it, and there's other times where this really doesn't matter the way that you think it does. All right, former Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola has committed to Oregon. The Ducks still awaiting a decision on Dante Moore's return. If Moore does return, Raiola would back him up for a season and then take over as a starter in 2027. This has got to be a great come up for Mahomes Jr.
Yeah, no, this is exactly where we're going to go. You apprenticed for 2 years at Nebraska. You've got like the groundswell. I've played at a major college and I've got a lot of experience, and now you're going to a place that can make you a king.
Yeah, Oregon quarterbacks just don't suck with Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
You might suck at the next level, Dylan Gabriel, et cetera. Like, you might have a hard go of it, but, like, in college, Oregon quarterbacks, they just don't suck.
And I think you're going to start to see. Now, listen, right now, the only thing that's driving these quarterback markets is money, but I think you are going to start to see in the portal era, Oregon's going to be one. Miami has a real chance to be this as well. A place where quarterbacks go because they know I can be somebody else over here. But if I finish my career at Miami, if that's my finishing school, I have a chance to be the number 1, 2, or 20 pick in the NFL draft.
You're talking about the Carson Beck glow up? Is that what's happening here?
I was thinking mostly about the Cam Ward glow up. But yeah, I think Carson Beck's back in the top 64 picture.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's weird how much winning just does for your draft stock when we really should be able to separate the traits that it takes in college to win at the next level. But it does matter. And Dan Lanning puts these guys in really winnable situations that he just wasn't in Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for Dylan Raiola. I mean, I can't wait for Patrick Mahomes' Instagram to celebrate it. You think Mahomes likes him?
No.
You think Mahomes is bothered by him?
Actually, I don't know, because if I was Pat Mahomes, there's not a lot that would bug me.
I mean, he's just cosplaying as you.
That's fine.
He's stealing your bit, but it's kind of like it's all in an endearing way.
Yeah, as long as you know who you are, that's fine.
It's like a little brother thing.
Right? Like if him cosplaying as you caused some sort of identity crisis, that'd probably say more about you than it does Dylan Raiola, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson entered the draft last week, but Alabama.com is reporting several schools are recruiting Simpson to enter the transfer portal with deals worth anywhere from $4 to $6.5 million. Should Simpson stick in college?
Yeah, he just came out. He just tried to do this too early. And like I'm closer to what Ross had to say in this stuff when it comes to like Dante Moore. But with Ty Simpson, we don't even know with certainty you'd be a first round pick. I know most people project him out to be somewhere between 10 to 25. Maybe it ends up getting there, but we don't know with certainty that he would be. And he looks like he could go back and use some growth.
I think the problem is where like doing it now, it does feel like, I mean, Sam Leavitt just ended up in LSU. So many of these places have gotten their quarterbacks. I mean, Dylan Raiola had to go to Oregon to be either next year or 2 years from now, you'll be the guy.
Well, and that's the nice thing, right, is that you got next year then. If that class is as packed as everybody says it's going to be, then you can skip next year, too. You can wait until 2 more years down the road.
I just meant for Simpson, where do you go? I think Miami still is open post Carson Beck. But beyond Miami, where are the gigs? There's not a lot of jobs right now. We're more seeing guys with Raiola. There's a backup quarterback.
Did LSU
visiting.
Fill their job yet or no?
Sam Leavitt. Yeah,
Was today?
Yeah.
I saw the notification come with Sam Leavitt, and I was driving, and so I didn't get to see the conclusion.
In fairness, we've seen Sam Leavitt notifications happen 4 times, and this one is the most recent one.
That's where I got turned off. I was like, Sam Leavitt, you're just going to tease me again. I made a mental note to go back and check it, and I never checked it.
It was Kentucky. It was Texas Tech.
Knew it was going to happen to me.
It's been everywhere, but LSU, yeah. That's a good spot for him to land.